Good morning, C3 Trinity Church. I'm so happy to be able to bring this message to you from our auditorium here at 4300 Cole. And just to let you know that this is the moment for the church to arise. This is a moment for us to begin to shine. You know, we need to move, make sure that we're moving from just merely surviving through all of this to where we're thriving through it. I hope you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you found that secret place where you can hear the voice of the Lord and where you can walk with God. You know, 2 weeks ago I talked to you about the resurrection. That was Easter Sunday. And we visited about the resurrection and talked about all the benefits and all the things that happened to us as a result of Jesus being resurrected from the grave. And then last week we talked about the promise of the Father. And so I want to review that a little bit in order to give us context for today, because today I'm going to be talking to you about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to remember, as we looked through the Great Commission from Matthew to Mark to Luke and to John, each gospel account has a version of the Great Commission, but all four of them have three things in common. And I said to you last week, we need to, number one, is rejoice that we have been redeemed. Yeah, we've been redeemed by Jesus Christ. We were in a useless state. We were empty. We were broken. We had no chance of being reunited with the Father, to be reconciled with God. But Jesus, through His resurrection, redeemed us. And He put us back at the table with God, brought us back into intimacy with the Father. And so we need to rejoice that we've been redeemed. Secondly, we need to realize that we've been commissioned. Yes, if you're a born-again Christian, then Jesus has commissioned you. He's commissioned us, His church, to extend and to magnify Jesus and extend His kingdom into all the world that we live in. And so we have to realize that we've all been commissioned. We are ambassadors for Christ. We now have a purpose for our life. God has a plan that He wants to execute in our lives. And as we begin to realize that the mission field starts when you walk out the door of your home, then we begin to realize and understand that God will be with us in a powerful way to help us in the commission that He's called us to. And finally, and where we get to today, is we need to remember we need the power of God. See, Jesus has given us a task that is absolutely impossible to do without the power of God. And so we need God's power. So I want to pick up on that today, really, in Luke chapter 24. Luke is the first part of a two-part anthology that he's writing, first about the life, the times, and the ministry of Jesus. And in the book of Acts, he writes about the life and the time and the ministry of the early church. And so we're picking up here in the last chapter of Luke, Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 45. The Bible says that he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now, you have to get the context. Jesus has now been resurrected from the grave, and he spends the next 40 days ministering here on earth in his resurrected, glorified body. And so the Bible says that there were over 500 witnesses at one time, that every one of the apostles also saw him. And so they saw the resurrected Jesus. They heard the resurrected Jesus preaching on the gospel of the kingdom. And they were commissioned by him to change the world. And so here in the verse 45 of Luke 24, we find that even though they had been with him for 3 years, even though that they knew him, his mannerisms, his ways, even though he had spoken to them directly and taught them, they still had their understanding clouded. So the Bible says that he opened their understanding in order for them to comprehend the scriptures. Today, we believe that if you open the scriptures, then you have the understanding. That's not true. God has to open your heart and open your mind to the meaning and the understanding of the things that are here in the scriptures. And so he opened their understanding so that they could comprehend what the scriptures were all about. Verse 46 says, "Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day.'" And so here we find that in this Luke's rendition of the Great Commission, that we can be happy that he redeemed us. How did he redeem us? By rising from the dead, by being resurrected from the grave. And he's the only person in history that was dead, and came alive and is now living now. And so it is through his suffering and through his resurrection that Jesus has redeemed us. So we need to rejoice in that. In verse 47, it says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. There's our commission. We have to realize that we've been commissioned. And so what does he say? We've been commissioned to do what? To preach repentance and remission of sins in his name to all the ethnic peoples of the world, beginning in Jerusalem. The application for us is that Jesus wants to use us as a mouthpiece to bring the good news that Jesus is alive, to bring that good news to our beginning in our household, in our community, in our city, and then around the world. We have been commissioned. All right, and then verse 48 says, now look, you're witnesses of these things. Verse 49 says, behold, I send the promise of my Father. Sometimes we read that and we don't think about it correctly. God promised us something. So Jesus says, behold, I send that promise that the Father has given to us. I'm sending that to you, he says. I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued from power upon high. And so Jesus, now, after these 40 days of ministry on the earth, has now spoken to his disciples, telling them, look, you go to Jerusalem, you stay there until you get the power. And then once you get the power, then you will be able to complete the commission that I've called you to. And so he says, I'm going to send the promise of my Father. What is the promise of the Father? We find out from each of the gospel accounts that God promised that he would send his Holy Spirit. He would send his helper. He would send an advocate, someone to be with us, someone to be in us, and someone who would walk with us, never leave us, and never forsake us. So Jesus, being one person on the earth, was able to touch quite a few people, but nothing like the Holy Spirit that's sent from the Father, who can touch everybody on earth at the very same time. And so he says, look, I'm going to send the promise of my Spirit upon you, but you got to stay in Jerusalem. Stay put. Don't go. Don't try this commission yourself without having the power of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 20, this is John's, his version of the Great Commission. We find out in verse 21 that Jesus said to them again, peace to you. There's that component of rejoicing in the fact that we've been redeemed, that God made peace. Jesus made peace between us and God. He reconciled us that we might be at peace with him. So he says, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. There's our commission. Our commission that we would be sent out into the world to do the works and the ministry of Jesus. For the same reason and the same way that God sent Jesus, Jesus said, I'm sending you. That's your commission. He says, And when he said this, verse 22 says, he breathed on them and said to them, now receive the Holy Spirit. Get the power. Are you getting where all this is coming from? He said, look, you need to rejoice that you've been redeemed. That's awesome. Now you are sitting at the table with the Father again. And you need to realize that while you're on earth, you have a job to do. You have a purpose with your life. You have been commissioned by God for something very special and very eternal. And finally, but before you go, before you start on that commission, you got to get the power of God. And what's happened, church, is because we didn't have the power, we have relied upon our own intellect, upon our own wisdom, upon our own personality to try the best we can to extend the kingdom of God and to share Christ with others and to help with others. But we've missed one vital aspect. We have not had that power. And so Jesus said, if you'll just stay in Jerusalem, stay there, you're going to get the power from up on high. He said to them, receive, breathe on them. You see, the Spirit of God is the breath of God. Breathed on them and said, now receive the Holy Spirit. So this is what we talked about last week, the promise of the Father, and the understanding that we need the power of God. Well, today I'm going to talk to you about the coming of the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit. Remember, 40 days Jesus spent on the earth from the time he was resurrected to the time he ascended into heaven. All right, and so here we are in Acts chapter 1 on the day of his ascension. So he's been 40 days teaching and preaching on the kingdom of heaven. He's been 40 days giving instructions to his apostles. But even then, in his resurrected self, he still says, wait, you got to wait for the power. You got to wait for the power. Verse 4 of Acts 1 says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. What is that promise? To wait for the Holy Spirit, he says, which he said, you have heard this from me. For John, verse 5, truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This was not a new concept to him. In fact, the Bible records in several instances in the Gospels, Jesus talking about being baptized by the Father, being baptized by the Holy Spirit, being baptized in fire, in water. But in this particular case, he's saying you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He says, but verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the end of the earth. So what is he saying? He's saying, look, I've been with you now for these 3 years of ministry. I was crucified, dead, buried in the grave, and on the third day, I was resurrected. I'm alive now, he's saying to them. I've been with you now 40 days since the resurrection, instructing you, talking to you on things pertaining to the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you, you need the power. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, if they needed the power, so do we. We need the power in the life of God. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need that in our lives so that we can be empowered to do what it is He's called us to do, to be who it is He's called us to be. And so the Bible's very clear on this. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Here the idea is again. You start in your own community, in your own home, and then you begin to spread out into the city that you're part of, into the region that you're part of, and God's intention is to take your influence to the nations. But you need the power of God, he says. This ends up Acts 1:8 being the real thesis for the whole book of Acts. And when I say thesis, I mean this, is that, hey, get the power and then you go. You need the power and then you can go. You get the power of God and then you can complete and do what it is that God has commissioned you to do. And so there they were, 10 days before Pentecost. Jesus has ascended into heaven, and they find a place, an upper room in the city of Jerusalem. And there for 10 days they gather. So Acts chapter 2 picks it up on the 10th day, which happens to be the day of Pentecost. So Acts chapter 2 verse 1 says that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. They had a singleness of purpose, a singleness of heart, a desire to see and to be in not only the presence of the Lord, but to receive the promise that Father God had promised them, that is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. This is not a natural sound. This is not something that was man-made. This was a sound that came out of heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And so as they were gathered together in one heart, in one accord, praying and believing, rejoicing in the fact that they had been redeemed, remembering the fact that they needed the power of God, remembering what Jesus had said to them, you stay in Jerusalem and you get the power there. And remembering that, and in that moment, suddenly, there came, really, a mighty rushing wind. Verse 3 says, and then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. There were 120 men there in the upper room. And this flame of fire, spiritual fire, reminiscent of the fact that Moses had seen that same fire, that pillar of fire that kept the nation of Israel warm during the night. That same pillar of fire, the presence of God, came into that room. And it divided itself until one flame sat on each of the people who were there upon their heads, it says. And so there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, this is an interesting part of it. Now, the Spirit of God has come in the form of the fire, the passion of the Father. And that Spirit now has been divided among the 120, that each person there has received now this power of this Holy Spirit. And their response, their reaction, was to begin to glorify God, to begin to worship God. And supernaturally, they began to glorify God and worship God in other known languages. They were unknown to them, but they were known to the people that were gathered around down below. When they heard the sound of this rushing wind, people gathered around this upper room and began to listen to them and hear them. And as they heard them, they would hear their own language, their home languages, and glorifying God and worshiping God. And this was an amazing moment as the church of Jesus Christ was born by the Spirit of God is coming upon them in the upper room. You know, today, what I really want to leave you with is I want to leave you with a hunger for more of the presence of God in your life. A hunger for everything that God has for you. I was thinking a couple of weeks ago, I read this. I think Jim Dennison brought it to my attention. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. And what's interesting about that passage, when it says it is the gift of God, it's not the gift from God. It is the gift of God Himself. So by grace, the unmerited favor of God, you have been saved, redeemed, set free, brought back into the original intent in which God created you, to fellowship with Him, to love Him, and to walk with Him. Been saved through faith. We have to receive that and embrace that by faith. It's not of our own works. It's nothing we could earn. It's nothing we could do to make it happen. God gave it to us freely. What is it that He gave us? Himself. He gave us Himself in the form of the Spirit of God to be in us and to be with us. I grew up in a church in a rural part of Western Tennessee, you know, where I'm not sure that I really ever understood redemption or understood anything about Jesus, and certainly not anything about the Holy Spirit. But when I graduated from college and moved to Dallas, it wasn't long that I had been here that I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I came to faith in Christ. And I was so fortunate to have mature Christians lay a foundation in my life. Ethan Pope, who prayed with me to receive Christ, Ethan laid that foundation stone of living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, of building your life upon the foundation of God's Word. And I was so blessed to have Ethan in that part of my life. And then John Maisel really took me aside and really laid that foundation of passionate and radical mission. And that idea that our lives could count for eternity and that we could change other people's lives. And so I was so fortunate to have those men lay that foundation. And there were many others lay that foundation in my life. But I had a radical conversion. And let me explain what that means to me, what I mean by that. I had a radical conversion to Christ. I read the Bible and I believed it to be the truth. and I decided to live it and to do it. And from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit was active in my life. And I was following His direction as best I could. I remember about 10 days after I had prayed to receive Christ with Ethan, I remember being in my bedroom, and I woke up one morning and I just felt the weight of conviction on my life, because I was saying that I was a Christian, but I was still living very worldly. And so I remember rolling out of bed on my knees, and I just said a simple prayer: Lord, if You'll forgive me for calling myself a Christian and not living like one, then from this day forward I'll serve You. And I had a powerful encounter with God that morning. It was as if I were standing at the doorway of my bedroom watching me pray. And the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, came in that room and nearly changed my life. I visited lots of different churches after that. I was on a quest for a people who were walking in the same truth that I was walking in, believing the Bible, living it, and doing it. And went to lots of different Bible studies. I remember Bill Noble had a Bible study, and where we were talking about, we were all evangelical Christians, and we were talking about charismatic Christians and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Bill challenged me that day to look into and to see whether or not these things are for today. Very soon after that, I visited a place called Church on the Rock. It was a church out in Rockwall, Texas, that was experiencing a real revival. In the very first meeting that I went to, I remember walking into the auditorium and finding my seat and feeling so unusual in there. And the Lord asked me a question that moment. He said, "What do you see?" And as I looked around the room, I saw old people, young people. I saw black, white, Hispanic, Asian. I saw people who looked like they were wealthy, people who looked like they were poor. I saw almost every kind of part of humanity you can see there. And I said, "Lord, I see people." He said, "What kind of people?" I see all the things I just described. And the Lord spoke to me that morning. And the Lord said to me, "This is what heaven looks like. Heaven is not a white, middle-class place. Heaven has all the ethnicities of the world around the throne of God." And I realized there was something special about that place. I had no idea why they were a charismatic church, a spirit-filled church. I didn't really understand that. But I did understand the fact that what I was seeing there is something I'd never been around before, was a church that was diverse ethnically. I'd always been a worshiper in a white, middle, upper middle class church. And so that moment changed me. And that day, that was the first time I ever lifted both hands in worship. And I came into my heart into full surrender. So the next week I decided to go back. And the next week, as I was there at the end of the service, I was sitting in the back, probably, I don't know, 2,000, 1,500, 2,000 people in the church. And I was sitting in the back closest to the door, didn't really know anyone there. And the pastor, after his message, gave an altar call. And he said, "You know, there's a young man here who God has spoken to you to be a part of this church. I want you to come forward." And in that moment, three or four young guys went up there, went forward. And I said, "There they are, God." And the Lord had spoken to me where it sounded almost audibly to me in my head. He said, "Go." And so I said, "No way, I'm not going. I don't know anybody here. Don't know what their doctrine is. Don't understand what's all going on here. I just know that there's something here that's exciting." And so in a few minutes, he said, "There's a young man here whom God has called to be a part of this church. I want you to come." And he took his finger and he pointed right at me, way back in the back of the church. He called me out. He said, "You, there, with a blue suit, white shirt, red tie." That was me. That's what I had on that day. He said, "I want you to come up here." I was astounded. Went out of my seat, went up to the front, and I said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "How did you know it was me?" Because the Lord had spoken to me that morning to go and to be a part, but I was nervous, I was scared to do it. He said, "When I looked out over the crowd, I saw a key. And that key rested right over your head. And the Lord wants you to know that you're going to be a key person in the body of Christ in the coming years. You're going to join this church today, but this is not where your home is. You're just going to get some discipleship and training here for the purpose that God has planned for your life. So Holy Spirit was working and moving mightily in my life. It wasn't long after that before I met Bonnie Kahn. Bonnie Kahn was a dear minister of the gospel from Memphis, Tennessee. And I went into her home. I was invited by a friend of mine. The two of us went and we met she and her husband. And this is my first time to really get to know her. And so she began to talk to me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And every time she talked to me about it, I've given an excuse of why it wasn't for today and why it wasn't for me. Until finally, I ran out of excuses before she ran out of Scripture. And she went back to the counter of the kitchen, brought a glass of tea, a pitcher of tea, and put her hand on my shoulder. I thought, she's going to pour the tea on me. And she reached over and she filled up my glass and she said, "The Lord tells me that you're afraid of me, but Joe, I want you to know I'm here to love you." And she sat back down and we started talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that night, at that little breakfast, that little dinner table, she laid hands on me and I received the power of the Holy Spirit in a way I had never had an encounter like that before. And I left that house that night, not only knowing that I encountered the awesomeness of God, but I also had a new spiritual language. And it was an amazing moment for me. I knew that God, His Spirit, had encountered me in a way that I would never be the same again. And as a result, I've never been the same again. So what about you? What's next for you? Has your faith really rested upon, you know, the ability of your mind to try to figure it all out? Or has your faith rested upon the power of God? You know, Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, "Look, I want your faith not to rest on the opinions of men, but upon the power of God." And the only way that can happen is that you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And we've been isolated now for several weeks, and I've been reminding you and encouraging and coaching you to find that secret place. Why? Because you find that secret place, God wants to give you Himself. That's the whole point. He wants to give you Himself. And so we begin this journey by surrendering our heart to Jesus. Not by just showing up at a church, not by just praying a prayer with somebody, but really surrendering our heart to Jesus. And so I'm going to pray with you. And I'll give you the opportunity to open your heart and your life to everything that Jesus has for you. And then after we pray that prayer, then I'm going to pray for those of you who want more, who want to be baptized in God's Holy Spirit. I want to pray for you as well. And so if you would like prayer in this moment, perhaps you would like one of our pastors to reach out to you. You can put there, and you see the third screen, the lower third of the screen, you can text prayer to that number and someone will get back in touch with you. But I'm going to pray for you now. If you want to dedicate your heart to Jesus, you want to surrender your life to Him, if you want to ask Him in for the very first time, then pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank You. Lord, today I admit to You that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I'm opening my heart, turning from my sin, and ask You to come into my life and make me the person You want me to be. Come now. Lord, I'm doing this out of the sincerity of my heart. I want to be changed. I want to have an encounter with You in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you who said, you know what, I'm already a believer, but I want everything God has for me, then I want you to take your hand, close your eyes, and put your hand right there on your heart and pray this prayer. Lord, come into my life and baptize me with the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God might not only be in me, but that I recognize and acknowledge He's with me. Fill me now with the power of Your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Hey, I'm glad you joined us today. I love you. I hope you'll take this message, pray on it, think about it, And I hope that you will find that time and space, that secret place where you can be filled with and encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. Next week, we're going to look at Acts chapter 2 and see what the response of those were who heard and saw the Spirit of God. God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And our prayer is that the Holy Spirit will just continue to invade you and your heart will be so open to receiving Him. And especially for those of you that were joining us first time, text the number below and put VIP and let us know you were with us. And join us for prayer on Wednesday.
Hey, thanks again for coming. We love you guys. We think of you and pray for you every day.
Yes.
And we just believe in God that this season will not just be a season where we survived.
That's right.
But it'll be a season where we thrived. Hey, let's thrive, church. God
Come
bless
on.
You. Thanks for coming.
Bye-bye. Thank you.